Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Jenny.
If you want to grab a Bible, if you don't, that's okay. But if you do, please turn to the book of Mark. It's up on the screen. This is like a bingo caller's delight. Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. All the ones. Thank you, Charlie. does someone? Oh, it's on page 960, in case you're stuck. Is everybody sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd open our hearts, that you'd open our minds, you'd open our ears, you'd open our eyes to the truth once again of who Jesus is. Holy Spirit, come and take my simple efforts and use them for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I studied A-level psychology, and one of the best parts of it for me was when we spent a whole hour looking at these kind of pictures, which they're optical illusion pictures. I don't know if you know what they are at all. Darren nicked my idea, so we've already been here and we've already done it. However, we didn't do this picture, so we stick with this one. This is a picture. Tell me what you see. Someone shout out. Rabbit and a duck. Can everyone see the rabbit? No? Can everyone see the duck? Okay, so the beak of the duck are the ears of the rabbit. Yeah? Lovely. Okay, I was able in my psychology lesson to really drag out the time we spent on this, just going to my teacher, no, I can't see the duck. 5 more minutes while I find the duck. An hour later. And then you saw this one earlier, so a vase and two faces. What's amazing about these pictures is you can see one thing when you look at it, or you can see another. Or if you've got the eye and you kind of go a little bit boss-eyed like I do, you can see both pictures. And we're going to continue in our series on Mark. Darren kicked off last week, and we're looking at Mark. And we're looking at today picking up on Jesus' final week, his arrival into Jerusalem, and what is known to us now as Passion Week. And what we see when we're going to read this passage is that there's one way of looking at the story that Mark presents us with. But actually, there's also another way of looking at the story. There's two ways of looking at the same story in the same way that there's two ways of looking at the same picture. So Will is going to come and read Mark 11, verses 1 to 11 to us.
Cool. So, yeah, Mark 11, verse 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Okay, so let's picture the scene. It's Jewish Passover festival, and people would rock into Jerusalem en masse. The size of the population in Jerusalem would swell considerably. bed and breakfasts, breakfast places, taverns, places to stay. They'd all be taken, all be booked up. The place would be heaving. And as a result, the Roman soldiers, they'll be out in force making sure a law and order and peace was instilled on the streets, that nothing kicked off. A bit like the police at Notting Hill Carnival. They come out in force to make sure that everything's all right whilst people have their party and they celebrate. And also at this time, the Roman governor, so Pilate, he would make sure that he was in Jerusalem for a religious festival. So he would make sure that he would come in, the symbol of Rome, and he would normally parade into town during Passover. So he'd come into the west of the city, and I want you to imagine Pilate rocking into town. That's going to be a sight to see, okay? So there's going to be soldiers on horses, soldiers marching, there's going to be armour, banners, trumpets, drums, and people are going to be watching, and they're going to be in awe, they're going to be curious, maybe slightly resentful that this Roman guy is rocking into our city. The procession would have been an amazing display of power, of wealth, and of status. And it's into that that we pick up this passage this morning. So it's into that scene that Jesus plans his journey into Jerusalem. So we see in verse 1, Jesus is coming from the east. He's coming in through the poor part of the city. He's coming from Bethany down the Mount of Olives. That's his journey into town. And he plans his mode of transport. He sends his disciples off to go and get a colt, a small donkey, and an unused donkey, a donkey that's never been ridden before. You see that in verse 2. Now, what's significant about that is animals that were unused in Bible times could be used for religious purposes. So actually, in the text, you can see Jesus isn't just getting a donkey as his mode of transport, but he's getting something that can be used with religious significance. And so he sends his disciples. And the disciples are obedient. Verse 3, they don't say, Jesus, what are you talking about? You want a donkey? They go and they get the donkey and everything happens how Jesus says. See, Jesus is more than making his transport plans to arrive into Jerusalem. See, this is going to be the most significant week in his life. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're going to have a really significant week in your life, I wonder what your plan for transportation would be. So if you're having your NRA or if, I don't know, you've got a wedding coming up or something. For me, my dream mode of transportation would be a Bentley convertible. In black would be nice. So just so you know, if I have a significant week at any point and you want to hire me a car, that's the car that I would like you to hire. But for Jesus, it's not an amazing horse. It's a small donkey. Now, a grown man riding a small donkey, that would look slightly strange. It might look something like this. So this is Callum Dixon, one of our young people who's 17 today. Happy birthday, Callum. Sat on a child's trike. Callum's quite tall. The thing's quite small. And he does it. It looks stupid. And yet Jesus chose a baby donkey to ride into Jerusalem. There's nothing grand about that. Nothing amazing. Nothing like, yeah, this is the place to be. This is the guy to see because he's riding something that's amazing. Jesus chose a symbol of humility and peace, something that was unassuming, something that wasn't threatening. He chose a donkey. And do you know what? Verse 3, at that, he chose to borrow a donkey. He didn't go and buy one. He sent his disciples and said, hey, say that the Lord needs it. So verse 7, the disciples go and they get the donkey and then they bring it back to Jesus. They take off their cloaks and they whack it on top. And Jesus climbs on board, and then we see a counter procession to the one that Pilate's doing take place. Verse 8 says, many people began to lay their cloaks on the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't make the habit of walking down a street, seeing someone walking along, taking off my coat and throwing it on the floor. Probably in East London, you don't know what your coat's going to catch. But even more so, in the Middle East, it would have been dusty, it would have been dirty, and yet people were taking off their garments and they're laying it down for a donkey to trample over it, for people to trample over it, for the donkey man to ride into town. Now, that's something that happened when royalty came. It's kind of like we're laying out the red carpet for this guy. People got branches, they lay them down, they wave them, and shouts started to go up. See, whilst Jesus was on this really small and lowly animal, and his entry lacked the kind of amazing sight of Pilate, Jesus, yeah, he was a donkey man. He was one guy riding a donkey. That's one way that we can look at this passage, but there's also another way that we can look at it. And that's that he's actually a king. See, 500 years before, in the book of Zechariah, we read that he prophesied about this king that was going to arrive into Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says that a humble king will come riding a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the rest of the passage in Zechariah goes on to say that the king that's going to come, the king riding on a donkey, is going to banish war. He's going to command peace to the nations, and he's going to be a king of peace. See, Jesus' parade deliberately counteracted Pilate's parade. It wasn't one of status. It wasn't one of power and glory and violence. It was one of peace. Jesus was saying, I'm going to give you a different way of looking at things because this is about the kingdom of God. See, now this isn't a king that was born in a palace with amazing people surrounding him, followed by generals saying, this is how you become king. This is the way that you act in a royal fashion. He didn't rock into Jerusalem surrounded by military bands. Jesus comes, a man who's conceived in shame, a carpenter by trade, riding on a colt, but coming as king. Now, I wonder, if we was in Jerusalem, I wonder what parade we would have been a part of. Would we have been a part of Pilate's, with all the grandeur that there would have been, or would we have been a part of Jesus's? I wonder what parade we would have been a part of. See, the reality is, Jesus was a man riding on a donkey. But the other way of looking at the same picture is, he was king. And so you've got to wonder, did actually these people who were shouting Hosanna, who were laying down their garments, did they really get who this guy on a donkey was? Did they actually understand? See, they were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for the promised king. They were waiting for someone to come and overthrow the powers of Rome. And here he is. He comes. And they think it's him. And a joyful party starts. Kind of like a carnival atmosphere. People shouting and dancing. There wasn't nothing somber about it. People surrounding Jesus. We read in a text that some were running ahead. Others were following. Some running behind. Verses 9 to 10 shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Now, Hosanna is a Hebrew word which means save. Save us. They were shouting to this guy on a donkey who we now know to be king, save us from these Romans. And yet Jesus was going to do so much more than that. Hosanna is also a word for praise and worship and delight. A bit like whoop whoop. The young people will know what that means. Older people maybe not so much. Jesus was going to do so much more than that. See, it was a joy-filled party. Jesus rocking into Jerusalem. That would have been a sight to behold. The crowds were shouting words from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. They called on all their knowledge of the Old Testament and they shouted, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. At last, the Son of David, the descendant of David, the one we've been waiting for, he's here. Shouts of joy, shouts of praise going up to this guy who's on a donkey. At last, the rescuer, the one we've been waiting for, he's here. Hosanna, save us, glory, amazing, he's here. Up until this point, Jesus declined the title of being Messiah, and now he lets people call him that. See, the reality of Mark's story is the guy who's riding on a donkey is also a king. And one way of looking at this passage is, it was a joyful celebration, a joyful party. But another way of looking at it was actually it was the start of a journey to death row. See, Mark finishes his account, look at verse 12, it finishes with Jesus going to have a butcher's around the temple. He goes and has a look, sees what's going on. Mark doesn't say why he does that. Si's going to be speaking on that and mentioning that next week. But he goes to the temple, has a look around, turns around and goes back to Bethany, where he's probably staying during a festival because it would have been so rammed in Jerusalem. There's a real sense from the way that Mark finishes this part that this isn't the end of the story. This is just the beginning. See, here's the spoiler. This isn't the end. Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem was actually his journey and the start of his journey to the cross. See, Jesus, he doesn't come to brandish the sword like someone like Pilate would. He doesn't come to fulfill common expectation of the people, but he comes to give his own body in uncompromised sacrifice. See, he doesn't come into Jerusalem to kill the people, but to be killed. He doesn't come surrounded by soldiers and armies. He comes surrounded by 12 flawed friends. One who's going to betray him, another who's going to deny him, and the rest, when it all hits the fan, they're going to do a runner. In the space of days, the cries of Hosanna that rang out when Jesus came into town turned into cries of crucify him. Now, you may think, oh, man, people are so flippant. How can they change from loving someone to hating someone so much? All you've got to do is think of this guy. This is, yeah, let the boos resound. This is Dimitri Payet. He is a player for West Ham United. he still is a player. He was held up to be a bit of a god. He was an amazing player, is an amazing player, depending on his form. And he was worshipped at West Ham. We've got Payet. There was all songs about him. And then he decided he wanted to go and play for a better team, which to be honest, you can't blame him. And in a space of a week, the songs at West Ham went from being Payet is amazing to Payet, I can't repeat the words that were being sung about this guy. Such hatred towards this guy when actually at the start there was such praise. Now we don't know if the people who were shouting Hosanna were the same people who ended up shouting crucify Jesus. There's a chance that there may have been. Maybe not because of the size of the people that were in Jerusalem. I wonder if we were in Jerusalem, would we have been shouting Hosanna or would we have been shouting crucify him? See, for us, what is your reality? What is my reality? What do we see when we read this passage? Do you see a donkey man who starts a joyful party? Because that's one way of looking at Mark's story. Or do you see a king who begins a journey to death row? Or perhaps you see both. See, because the way we see and we understand this passage and who Jesus is radically affects how we live our lives. Note the response from the people in Mark's passage. Jesus comes in a humble and a meek way into town. And people shout, save us. Hosanna, save us. They lay their garments on the ground along with branches. They were waving things. They'd gone to some effort to go and get the branches. Their words and their actions came at a cost for them to worship Jesus. And notice at no point in Mark's passage, at no point does Jesus force these people to take off their garments and to shout praise to him. At no point does he say, oh, you've got to do that. See, they encountered him and saw something different about him. And as a result, they worshipped him. Jesus says, this is who I am. Come and follow me if you like. He doesn't force us. He didn't force people then and he doesn't force people now. He just says, this is who I am. Follow me if you want. Now, I wonder for us this morning, you know, kind of what application is there of Mark's story of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem for us? I really, really struggled with this talk in a way that I don't think I've struggled with a talk in a long, long time. And I think that's because if you've been around churches for a while, you will know this story inside out and back to front. And you'll be able to tell me what the point of it is. I don't need to stand here and tell you that. And there's application that, you know, Jesus came in humility and our attitude should be the same as Christ. We should be humble. And there's application that people laid down stuff before Jesus, so what should we be laying down? And you know, when I kept wrestling with this passage, you know, I just really felt God say, Jen, who are you going to give your Hosanna to? And so I asked you this morning, who are you going to give your Hosanna to? What or who are you looking at to save you? Now, Sunday school answer would be, if I was in Tofts and I asked the young people, they would say, well, of course it would be Jesus. And that's right, it is Jesus. If we're believers and we sat here this morning, we look to Jesus as being the one who saves us. But really, 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 in our hearts, what or who are we looking to save us? See, are we actually looking to the west part of town and everything that Pilate and the Roman Empire stood for? Are we looking to wealth, to money, to power, to status, to good grades, to friendships, to other people to save us and to give us meaning in our lives? Or are we looking solely to Jesus as being the one who can save us and satisfy us? What do you really see? What are you laying your cloaks down to? What are you shouting Hosanna to? What are you worshipping? What am I worshipping? What are we thinking about? What are we spending time with and time on? Because actually, that's probably a really good indication of our priorities in our lives. If we don't fully grasp that Jesus is more than a man riding on a donkey into town and being the start of a joyful party, then we're going to continue to give our worship to other things and other people. See, Jesus, he's the long-awaited king. He's the one that people were waiting for. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he's the only name by which we can be saved. It says in John 10:10 that Jesus, he's the promise that he's the only one who can fulfill our lives and give us life to the full. It's in Jesus alone. It's in him, in his walk on death row to the cross, in his death, in his resurrection from the dead, that we can be forgiven of all the rubbish that we've done wrong and be made friends with God. So what about us? See, maybe there was a time where we gave a heartfelt Hosanna to the King, where we worshipped Jesus with everything that we had, and actually things got a little bit tough and we got a little bit disappointed with God. And as a result of that, we kind of took a back seat and watched everybody else worship the King. And we were kind of like, I'm just not at the front of the crowds anymore. I just can't say Hosanna in the way that I used to be able to say it. There's the invitation for us to come back to the King. Or maybe you're here today and you don't know this King. You've not personally encountered him. You're not in a friendship with God. And yet you're here in a church this morning. And maybe you don't really know even why. I'll just say, what are you looking to? Who are you looking to save you? See, the fullness of life can only be found in Christ. Complete freedom can only be found in Christ. Healing and restoration, it can only be found in Christ. The King riding on a donkey is the only one who can give us meaning and purpose to our lives. Or maybe you've been following Christ for years and years and years, maybe longer than I've been born, since I've been alive. You know, many, many, many years on, maybe it's time for us to check our hearts. What do we worship? What do we follow? What are we looking to save us? Are we still giving a heartfelt Hosanna to the King today in a way that we did when we first encountered him and became Christians. Only a king on a donkey can truly save our souls and fully satisfy them forever. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you that Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem was so much more than a party. It was so much more than a guy riding a donkey. It was Jesus announcing his arrival as King and Messiah, the one that people had waited for many years. Thank you that years and years on, God, that we can truly know who Christ is in the same way that he's King. He's the one who satisfies our hearts and our lives. And Father, I long that I and that us as a church, that our hosannas would go up to you and you alone, that we would know you as being the only one who can save us, the only one who's worthy of our worship. So Father, I pray that you would come and search our hearts, yeah, and show us if there's any ways that we're misplacing our hosannas this morning. We're misplacing our worship of you with other things and other people. And bring us back to you, I pray, God. Bring us back to the cross, where we find freedom, forgiveness, and true life. In Jesus' name, amen.